Big Show continues. Brandon Blue, I'm Doug Cooper. Bob Quinn on assignment today. Special guest in the program because he's special. Yeah. And it's Friday.
Thank you.
It's Lee Klein.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for loaning me the book that I'm going to talk about today.
Okay, well, I'm glad you were able to bring it with you today.
Yeah.
And I think we got a lot of people out there listening just for this.
Well, the title of it is Images of America, Calhoun County. And the author is Darcy Dorothy Maulsby. It's the history of every town in Calhoun County, and it has a lot of pictures from the early days. Let's take an example. Rockwell City, the county seat, not the capital, the county seat of Calhoun County, as an example. Now, this town was platted on the only high ground in the center of the county in 1876, and it became the county seat then. In 1880, the founder of the town, John Rockwell, learned that F.M. Hubbell in Des Moines was bringing the railroad as far as Jefferson, and Mr. Rockwell went to Des Moines and he promised Hubbell half the town lots if he'd bring the railroad north up to Rockwell City. Well, the first train arrived in 1882, and the town's population doubled that year. Now, the town has a motto, the Golden Buckle on the Corn Belt. That's nice. And that's the kind of story that could be told, you know, about community after community here in Iowa about the railroad. The first settlers who came here by horse and wagon in the middle of the 1800s bought land from the government for about $1.50 an acre. And then the railroads came. And, you know, it's just astonishing to see a map of Iowa from the late 1800s. It's just a spiderweb of railroads just everywhere. Now take Lorville. There's another town in Calhoun County. It was platted in 1881 and became a railroad hub. It had three, not two, not one, it had three busy railroad lines. Lorville was one of the first to consolidate its one-room schools in 1920. Their population peaked from 1930 to 1940, but the loss of the railroads, plus the growth of the size of farms, caused Lorville's population to drop down to 368 by the year 2010. Their motto is better, not bigger. I have a story from my farm broadcasting time about Lorville, but this is not in the book. In the days before we sent men to the moon, NASA was studying every aspect of a moon landing. They didn't know what the surface of the moon would be like. Was it be powdery? And if an astronaut got off of a spaceship, would he sink into the powder? They didn't know. They wanted to find out more. And there existed on the Earth's surface shards of a glassy material which were called tektites, T-E-C-T-I-T-E-S, tektites. And it was thought this material came from outer space. And scientists wanted to sample more of these tektites. So they turned to farmers for help, knowing people who tilled the soil would maybe spot this material out in their fields. And NASA asked farmers to report any findings of tektites. And we broadcast this on the radio, saying be on the lookout. And this was done all around the country. Well, I got a telephone call from a farmer at Lorville, and he said he had found something out in his field that kind of fit the description of a tektite. So I jumped in the car, and I had my tape recorder, and we drove to the farm east of Lorville, and we walked out in the field, which is quite close to the farmstead, and we found shards of a yellowish, glassy material. So I took the material back to Des Moines with me, turned it into the authorities to be analyzed, and the answer came back shortly. You know what it was? The yellowish, glassy material was not a tektite. It was the residue of a straw stack that had been burned. They called it haystack glass, even though it was straw stack. And that's what the stuff was. You ever seen that? Back to the railroads, which were intimately associated with the establishment of towns here in Iowa. I grew up on a farm, north edge of Conrad in Grundy County, and a branch line of the Northwestern Railroad ran about a mile away. And in the 1930s and 1940s, there was a little single-engine machine that ran on the line, went as far west, maybe 10 miles to Gifford, and ended the line, then turned around and came back. And we were told it carried mail. Mostly, it wasn't very big. And my sister and I called it the Toonerville Trolley because there was the newspaper or cartoon by that name, the Toonerville Trolley. It's just a rickety little railroad engine. Well, we could tell the weather listening to the horn of the Toonerville Trolley. If it was low in pitch, it meant it was low pressure and it was going to rain. If the horn had a higher pitch, it meant it was higher pressure and there wouldn't be any rain. Of course, it didn't always work, but then you can understand the science of that. But the branch line of the Northwestern Railroad bought coal from the mines of Pennsylvania and West Virginia to Conrad, Iowa, and other towns. And that coal was so valuable to homes, especially in the terrible winter of 1936, because homeowners burned a lot of wood, sure, but that shiny, hard anthracite coal from the eastern United States was much better to burn and supply it a long heat. And it came by railroad. Lee Klein on The Big Show.
Wow.
Let me say the book again is Images of America, Calhoun County, by Darcy Dorothy Maulsby, M-A-U-L-S-B-Y.
There's a lot of great pictures in here.
Oh, heavens, yes.
And
a lot of Model T cars.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the picture of Merlin Grote?
Yes, I did. I certainly
wearing a soybean suit.
Yeah.
Those are little soybeans on his suit.
Yeah.
And it looks like that might be Ken Bader in the picture with him.
Couldn't tell you that, but I certainly do remember Merlin Grote as being a farmer who was very prominent.
He was from Manson.
Yeah, Manson.
And that's where the meteorite landed, you know.
Yeah,
that's in here.
Yeah, which has soft water. And they have a lot about Lake City also, which is, to me, an extremely interesting community because, it doesn't have a lake. And second place, it has a world-class pipe organ designer and builder in this little bitty town of Lake City, Iowa. It's amazing, just amazing that he should be there and doing this. But and Lake City is a very progressive small community.
It is.
I like it just an awful lot. How much time we got?
A minute and a half.
This man who designs and builds the pipe organs there in right in the town grew up on a farm near there. And he built a simple, very simple pipe organ in the barn of the farm where he grew up. And Herb Planbeck heard about it and drove up there and did an interview with this young boy. And a man in Sioux City heard the interview and called on the young man to go up to Sioux City to his home and install a pipe organ. And he did. And that's how he got his start into this world-class business.
Wow.
It's an amazing story.
A lot of interesting stories. And Darcy has a new book coming out that you've already put dibs on.
The Culinary History of Iowa.
The Culinary History of Iowa.
You'll have that to me?
You bet.
All right, I'll look for it.
Thanks, Darcy. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Bob, for being gone. And Brandon. I'm Doug, along with Lee Klein, The Big Show.